At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Ciarlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, your host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. And I am so glad to have a special guest on our Author Insight for, he's the author of Why Is Sam So Sad, which I think is a great topic for this time of year. For all of us, but especially if you know that I love children, and you guys know that. So I want to introduce none other than Dan Granger. He has coped with seasonal affective disorder every winter since he was a child growing up in Wisconsin. I think that's a challenging area, don't you think, guys? As a former teacher of 15 years and a certified reading specialist, he combines his professional experiences and his personal background to deliver an informative and inspiring children's book, Why Is Sam So Sad? Seasonal Affective Disorder and Depression for Child's Perspective. And I think I like this, from a child's perspective. We often look over children, but welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a pleasure.
Yes, I'm so excited. When I received your the information about you, I was like, oh, we got to have this on because I have grandchildren that are affected by this kind of change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I often think about, you know, children. I'm a childhood sexual abuse survivor. So I often think about children all the time, you know, worrying about what they experience and are we talking about it. And you're the perfect person today to just like talk about this subject. So tell us a little bit about who you are, more than I told them already, but more, just a little bit more.
Sure. First off, I'm sorry to hear that. Congratulations for being a success story and being somebody that people can look up to, and you know that you've gone this far. You're the second person I've actually been interviewed with that was an interviewer that had gone through that. So it's really incredible what you did. So congratulations. I live in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is one of those places where we have our own sayings, like if you don't like the weather, Yeah. Too bad, it'll change. If you do like the weather, it'll change.
Yeah. One then, of those things. Yeah.
And then what's the other one? We have three kinds of seasons, mm-hmm. winter, summer, and construction. So, yeah. In the Midwest, it gets really cold and it gets really dark. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I get depressed and my negative thoughts take over and I become a hermit. And so I wrote a book about it because this happened during COVID. And I was in a really dark place, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Right. We often don't relate those things to seasons. You know, we don't. And I know when I moved to China, I was like, I slept 24 hours when I got there and the day had started over because whenever you leave from one area, when you get to China, it's a day before. So it threw me off. So I could just imagine like in an area where it's dark, all, you know, dark most of the time. Share with us, you know, your experience of how it, you know, when you felt it, how it felt transitioning into this.
So I've been asked that a couple of times, and the way I describe it is, for me, as a child, during Christmas, I hated Christmas. I still kind of do, because during that time, I don't have any. When you have school, you have something to keep you busy. You have something to keep your mind off.
Right.
And then during the vacation time, you know, I just kind of moped around, and I wasn't. And I even said that in the book, like I was a mopey Marvin, and I wasn't really very happy because all these negative thoughts are keeping me busy. And the negative thoughts are the worst right before you're about to go to sleep because that's you don't have anything to keep you busy. So the best thing for children like this is to keep them busy. As far as what you were talking about with, I will get into light therapy, but there is something called light therapy, which you can work with seasonal affective disorder, but it also can help with jet lag. So you could have gotten, looked at light and been ready to go when you got to China.
Wow, I did not know that.
That's I've done a lot of research from all these interviews. Like every time I have an interview, it's like, oh, tell them this. I'm like, okay, got to do research for that too. So yeah, I'm kind of a wealth of knowledge kind of now.
Okay.
But okay, go ahead. So the way I kind of describe it as far as like a kid in the kid's version, mm-hmm. it's kind of like putting on a weighted backpack that's just with stones kind of leaning down, kind of the same kind of thing for when you're depressed. And then when I'm not during the colds, the dark seasons, then, you know, I'm happy and happy and go lucky. So this is Sam, and Sam is happy most of the time.
Yeah.
However, during the winter time when it's dark, he doesn't feel very happy. And I also want to show you this, my shirt. This is why Sam's so sad. Can you see that? There we go. But since I'm doing the interview, I'd rather be happy.
Wow. Awesome.
Thank you.
I love Sam. I do love Sam. I'm telling you, I love him because now I see you look like him.
Sam is me and I am Sam. Everything that happened in that book is me. I've gone through everything. However, there's been lots of information that's new information since that book, and I'm revamping the book as we speak.
Awesome. So there'll be a new unabridged version?
The new version is going to have two things that need to be updated, and it also is going to have the guru of seasonal affective disorders endorsement.
Awesome. So tell me, how can parents see this? You know, what things could you tell parents to do to kind of like see this coming, you know?
Let me think for a sec. So as far as seasonal affective disorder, what it is like I said, it's being depressed during when the days get longer and the nights get long and the dark and it gets darker. So what parents need to do is just be aware of their children and see if they're acting the way they normally would.
Okay.
or are they pushing people away? Because in the book, we talk about that Sam pushes people away. Because during that time, he doesn't want to, or children at the time don't really want to be around people. I know myself personally, I didn't want to be around people because I didn't want to be happy. And the other thing is, I didn't want to bring them down by me being not happy. So I pushed people away. And that happens more often with like the teenagers, the people I get.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The children that get sad the most are teenagers, and more importantly, girls. It's like three times more versus
really?
Boys. Yeah. Because girls mature quicker than boys, and so they end up getting it kind of faster. Some of the things that happen is the way I like to describe it, and kind of the way that the guru, what's his name? Norman E. Rosenthal, who in 1985 coined the term seasonal affective disorder. And that was in the National Health Institute in Massachusetts, whatever is NIM, but and that's like, I don't know what happened there. So the way I would describe a child going through seasonal affective disorder or just being sad is like hibernating. What would a bear do? A bear would sleep in, a bear would be away from people, a bear would overeat and just not be part of everybody.
You'd have to really be keen to that. So that's not a teenager thing. Kind of hibernating, being away from people. Is that a teenage thing? You know what I'm saying? You know how we relate that to being a teenager? I don't want to be with anybody. You know, is that a thing?
Well, it's even more than just like necessarily you don't want to be with people. You stop going to social events. You stop going to parties. Okay. You stop being around your family. You try to be away from everybody. Now, there are two kinds of sad, which I mean. There's the winter sad that's the more effective, and that's, or not more effective, that's, what is it, 5% of the population has seasonal affective disorder, the winter sad.
Okay.
And 3% of the population, no. Yeah, like 10%, I can't remember right now, but they have summer sad.
Okay.
And summer sad is, instead of being depressed, it's anxiety, and instead of oversleeping, it's lack of sleep, so insomnia.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We have to pay attention, huh? That's really important.
Whew. But it's not it's not nearly as common as the season, as the winter one. Yeah. And as far as what can you do about seasonal affective disorder, the winter one is there's something called light therapy. And that's actually what Norman D. Rosenthal based upon. He talked about light therapy.
Okay.
And what you do is you have certain kinds of lights.
Okay.
That their max is, 1,000 lux. And that's kind of like, it's kind of like the dawn of, if you were to look at the sky, like the dawn, like it's enough natural light that gets in your eyes.
Right.
When I wrote the book initially, I thought that it was supposed to be that the light contacts the body and then is created vitamin D. My mom always said, go outside, get some vitamin D.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I knew, I go outside, I get some vitamin D. According to this, actually, what it is not necessarily the vitamin D that the seasonal affective disorder people are missing out on.
Okay.
They're missing out on, it's called, basically, resetting your biological clock. It's called the circadian rhythms.
Yes.
And that's something I need to change to my book. So this light looking in your eyes resets your biological clock. So what your body is kind of used to during the summer, you're lagging still thinking is, okay, it's summer, 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 summer.
Right.
And the average person who doesn't have seasonal affective disorder switched over already. Mm-hmm. So there are no problems there. They're like, okay, well, it's colder, it's winter, it's darker, no big deal. And to the person dealing with seasonal affective disorder, okay, they're thinking, okay, it still should be bright. Why is it not bright? This isn't good. Why is it not bright? Mm-hmm. And so there is light therapy, and you have, like I said, this 1,000 lux that you're supposed to, and put it next to you or whatever, as long as it gets in your eyes. Right. And it's not even like shiny or anything. It just, you can sit by it. You can do, there's numerous kinds of light boxes out there. Actually, it's called bright light therapy that, Norman Rosenthal talked about.
Okay.
And so with that bright light therapy, it does reset your clock. It does make you happier. Mm-hmm. And in the book I talked about, because I didn't know at the time until I talked with Norman E. Rosenthal.
Right.
And I talk about something called St. John's Wort, because when I was growing up,
my mom used to give me this.
Yeah, she used to give me St. John's Wort, which boosts your happy feeling. And that's actually what it says on the bottom. Right. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, go for it. And Norman Rosenthal said, please don't tell that to children. I'm like, what do you mean? There was a study done where I guess even like their eyes were hurting or something was going on, but they had to cut the study completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to tell you that my grandson heard the same thing about John's Wort. He's 16.
Okay.
And I noticed from him, his eyes are red. And I said, I don't think you should be taking that anymore. And he says, why? And he said, I do feel weird. My eyes feel weird. And I said, don't take that anymore. And so he stopped and he felt better. You know, he's like, it was that. Because he was actually, it was bothering his eyes, but yet he was feeling worse. You know, he was feeling like, you know, like almost depressed. Like he didn't want to do anything. And I was like,
wow.
It was supposed to do the opposite effect. You know, but it was doing backwards for him, you know, and kids, they try to get things to supplement. He's a supplementer. You know, he likes to feel good. He likes to, you know, all of that stuff. And I was like, I don't think he should be taking it. As soon as I said that, he's like, okay. And he stopped taking it and he felt better. But I noticed with him, sometimes he's going through that and, you know, the ups and the downs, but mostly as you're saying when the seasons change.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So basically for me, I just prepare for it. I know it's coming. I get out my lights. And there's also cognitive behavioral therapy, which is another benefit to,
right,
or another that they talk about, kind of preparing yourself, like, okay, it's going to be this,
right, right,
in your mind, you prepare yourself. And
right,
it's kind of like the same thing with like being afraid of spiders. So little by little, you kind of increase that,
right,
you kind of increase that, the stimulus that you don't want.
Right.
And then you kind of go through that within the conversation or in the therapy,
right,
stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah. That's good information. Where would you obtain these lights that you're talking about?
Actually, I got mine on Amazon and I read the book after Norman Rosenthal, and it's called Defeating Sad.
What is it called?
Defeating Sad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Normally,
okay. Defeating Sad. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
Although, let's plug my book. Don't forget about my book.
Right there, I won't forget about it. Here it is right here. All right.
Yeah. So, I, as far as that's concerned with him, I wrote to him. I was watching some YouTube and he said, yeah, you know, without you people, I wouldn't be here. And I'm so thankful for your stories. I'm like, you're thankful for my stories, huh?
All right.
So I typed him up. I'm like, hey, I have this. I wrote a book. Would you be willing to look at it? And he's like, well, not at this point, but if you want to change it, yes. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll change it. And he said, and he gave me an endorsement. And I'm thrilled.
Awesome.
This is somebody, I knew his name because of this has been a part of my life. And that was in 85 that he that he coined the term of seasonal affective disorder. And then he's made like 14 books. And this is his 14th book. One of them did actually talk about the first book. Right. One of the books talked about St. John's Wort and the benefits of that
Right.
So things have evolved and he's learned more and more, and studies have shown more and more. And so, but yeah, the biggest things that he said is that cognitive behavioral therapy and light therapy. And then you can do like light therapy while you're doing other stuff, like depending on what kind of light you have. Like the one that I have is about the size of an iPad. It's not very big. And I just let it right. I have it right on my desk when I'm working. And he has one, you know, that you can have an overhead light. And as long as, you know, light gets in your eyes, this light gets in your eyes, you'll be better off. And you want to keep it for, what would we say, about a half an hour a day. And you want to, depending on kind of light, you want to have it, like a foot and a half away. Foot to a foot and a half away. Mm-hmm. And if you want to increase, if you're not feeling that you're getting enough, then you can increase the amount of light, the time you can increase, you can get it closer to you. You can get a different kind of light. The light that I have actually changes the different colors. It's really cool.
Excellent.
It goes from like blue and tan almost and like bright white. But it's all still 1,000 lux, which is what you're supposed to have.
Gotcha. So as a 15 year, you know, teacher, former teacher, 15 years that you've been doing this, right? And I know you is with some special ed, right? Special ed children as well.
Yes.
So how would a teacher kind of like, you know, understand or help kids that are suffering from SAD?
Good question. I've researched that too. One of the coolest things I found while doing that is there's actually a toolkit that somebody created for seasonal affective disorder.
Gotcha.
The thing you want to do is basically have natural light near that individual who's suffering from it. You also want to keep a good eye on that person, just kind of make sure they're doing okay. If they push away, you'll know, and just kind of keep an eye, trying to figure out how things are going. As far as kids are concerned, when kids are going through, the younger kids are going through seasonal affective disorder, they have a hard time getting to sleep. Like if you're young kids, it's hard putting them down to sleep.
Right.
And then as far as, you know, the teenagers would sleep in, they would overeat, possibly undereat. More so overeat was far as the winter sad is concerned, but it's both ways. As far as like a teacher, just like keep an eye on them. Whatever kind of therapy you possibly can do, if there's, you know, making sure they get out for recess as much as possible. If there's special things that they like, if there's kind of scents and colors that bring them up, you know, you want to have cheery colors nearby. However that person deals with that, I don't know if necessarily, I mean, I can't really speak to that because that's with me. And I said it in the book that I pretty much stayed away from people. I didn't want people to know that I have this problem because I didn't want people to see me differently. I didn't want people to either try to fix me or try to understand me and talk you out of it. Like I say that in the book, like people, you know, friends and family are like, I want to help you, but I don't get why you're doing that, you're this way. And the other one's like, this is nothing. You can figure this out. This is, you know, this is
get
nothing.
Over it. Get it over.
Right. Come on. Get over it. And it's not something you can get over. And that's the reason I wrote the book. The reason I wrote the book actually during COVID, I was working at a factory and I was working 7 days a week, 14 hours a week, 14 hours a day. So therefore I went to work before the sun rose and I left work after the sun had already set. So I never saw the sun for those first 2 years.
Wow.
I was in a really dark place. And two things brought me out of it. One, my best friend needed a kidney. So I went on a kidney journey and went to numerous kinds of appointments at a hospital. My thinking was, where I plan to go, I'm not going to need this kidney anymore, so I can give it away.
Right.
And the other thing is, this book kind of was a calling to me. And it just said, I had a book that I was working on. And this book was like, no, I need to make this book. This book is one I need to do. And so while I was working, you know, I would think of things and jot them down. And I have like tons of post-its that would come home. Like, okay, ooh, make sure you add this, make sure you add this, make sure you add this. And I'm not known for my writing. So the way that I wrote it was actually, I wrote it with clip art. I wrote my pictures, kind of described what I wanted to do, and then I put words to the clip art. And that's how I personally made it. I've never done this before. What am I writing a book for?
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to get this out. And that's kind of my story.
Right. Cool. So in the book, you talk about chemical imbalance. Can SAD run in the family?
Yes, it can. It's more likely that it's going to be from first generational. So it'd be more likely that it's your parents or siblings. It's not necessarily going to be your aunts or uncles and your grandparents.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. So we have a question from someone in the audience, and I didn't know we were live, so we're live.
Hey, congratulations, my first question. So whoever you are, thank you.
So the question is, how did you decide on the title and the cover of your design? That's the question.
Great question. Yeah, so why is Sam so sad? So Sam, because I found out that there was more information about a girl, and so I'm like, okay, so Sam could be a boy or a girl's name. Okay. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of how I'm going to go. That's so good. Either Sam the guy or Sam Samantha. But because I went through experience as a guy, I know what I would say as a guy, not necessarily as a girl. So I'm like, I'll do it for a guy. Why is Sam so sad? Sam and sad have the same three letters. So it started with sad. How can I find something that's a three-letter word? And I didn't want to have Dan. And so that's kind of how I went with that. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it does. And I didn't think about Sam being a versatile name. That's really great. That's a really, really great. That's exciting.
Well, you just made my trick or treat, by the way. Anybody trick or treating? Knock, knock. I got my first interview question on air. Yay!
That's really great. I'm really excited. I didn't know we're live. My team gives me these links, and now we're live. I'm like, wait a minute, we're live, and people are watching, and people are asking questions.
That's so cool.
So a lot of our audience are entrepreneurs and authors. So they ask questions like this, and one question here is, what do you mean by dark when you talk about that you were in a dark place? What do you mean by dark?
That's really easy. I don't know who is necessarily going to hear this, but when I said that I'm not going to do my kidney again,
right?
I was thinking suicide.
Okay.
I had no purpose in life. I saw the darkness for 2 years in a row. I was not telling my family what I was going through. I was just kind of like a zombie, just there. There was no energy, no nothing. And when I wrote this book, I wrote it with my mom. She helped me do parts of it. Okay. She's an author too. And so she helped me with it. And every time that there was something new to the book, whether it was the colors are added to the pictures, or this paragraph is ready, this title's ready, your book is ready, all that, I would call my mom up, we'd go and celebrate, we'd see what we have and go out to eat.
That's good.
So I think she might be ready for another book. She might be she might be hungry so we can do another book. I know she's been pushing the other book that I'm writing too.
Okay. Cool. So guess what? You have another question.
What Yay, do you think that
children, when they read this book, what would they get out of it? What do you think they will get out of this book?
I know what I want them to get out of it. I want them to get out of, well, I want kids and parents or whoever to understand that there's a reason why somebody is pushing you away. Okay. I know my friends who know me know that.
Right.
Dan's gonna push you away around this time. Now, if I've met a new friend and they don't know that, that's a casualty. I just lost that friend because you're like, why is this person pushing me away? But my good friends know. They're like, okay, just, you know, be cool. Dan will get back to you in summer. You know, he'll be there.
He'll get back to you in summer. I like that one. That's good. Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
You know, and it's not that I don't do stuff. I mean, I do do stuff. Right. It's just, it's really, really hard. And like I talk about in the book that, you know, he sleeps in when he can. If he goes needs to go to school, he goes to school. He completes his obligations. Right. If I didn't have the obligations, that would be worse. I don't know. I don't want to think of a day that I didn't have any obligations. And that's kind of what the work was, you know, like if it wasn't for work when I was in a dark place, there was nothing for me. There's nothing for me other than that. So I didn't have a reason to get up. We'll put it that way.
Awesome. Gotcha. Well, you've given us a lot of information. And I think that last question is really great because I know that, you know, sharing what you hope to have the readers take out of this is very good.
So there's one more
thank you guys
too.
For giving these questions. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's two things that I want somebody to take away. One is that they're going to push you away, and people don't understand why people are getting pushed away. And now you understand why somebody's pushing you away. The other thing is I want people to understand gratitude. That gratitude is incredible. Yeah. Tony Robbins said that you can't be fearful and grateful at the same time. Mm-hmm. Your grateful wins out. So Sam, at the very end, has a list of gratitude. And every day I have a list of gratitude. You know, obviously with the summer, it's way easier to write things down, but I force myself to write things down.
It is. So it's way easier. You're right. Yeah.
Whoever the two people, there we go. Two people are who wrote or who have a question, live question. Thank you. That's a new experience for me. That goes in my gratitude list.
Yes.
So yeah, awesome. I have a list of gratitude. If you go on my website, Sam has a list of gratitude. My gratitude, you know, has been since we started this, interviews, all kinds of things from like friends of mine to being able to, and as far as gratitude is concerned, what is concerned about is you want to think of how can you affect somebody. So gratitude is based on whether something came to you or you able to give something to somebody. And many times at work, you know, I'll buy some food. I'll buy somebody, a coworker's, you know, I'll buy their lunch. And, you know, then when they get back to me, it's like, you didn't have to do that. And he's like, well, you do it for me. I'm like, yeah, I know, but you don't have to do that. Like,
yes.
And so that's kind of the same thing. There actually is, believe it or not, not only is there a runner's high, but there's a helper's high. Actually, I heard it on the radio from Tim Tebow, of all people. Yeah, I know. But you get this high from being able to help people and being able to, and gratitude is one of the very highest things you can possibly do. Yes. So if you think more gratitude, you'll be more happier and things like that. So I try to make sure that I'm thinking gratitude all the time, you know, and the other thing is when you go to bed, to not go to bed thinking all the negatives, try to put good things in your head before you go to bed.
Yes, absolutely.
That's going to just marinate in your head for the time that you're sleeping. And you wake up and you're like, oh man, life stinks again.
Yes,
if you think like, hey, you know what? Can't wait to get up. I wrote this stuff down. I went on Edna White's podcast. Awesome. I had two people that asked me questions. No way. I got a chance to show my Sam hat. Everything was good. So yes, that's absolutely. How I'm going to go to bed tonight, thinking about good stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now you can ask your questions.
Sorry, okay. So we're nearing the end of our show. I want to let the audience know, wait, what you're doing, what's coming up next for you. Share with us all of the good stuff so we can come and follow you and be around you and Sam.
Sure. So this is my last interview. I have another one, a big one coming up, which I never thought I'd be on this path by any means. You know, the people I've talked to, I would never be able to like be in an elevator with them. Like this is just, it's beyond my thoughts.
Gotcha.
Especially, you know, when that I got the endorsement from Normandy Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. My newest book that I'm writing, which I wrote before this one, but I was kind of like in the final stages with it, is okay. called Meet the Rampers. And the Rampers is a ground crew. I worked as a ground crew in Arizona for 3 years.
Okay.
So they're the people who load the plane and do this thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I actually personally done that, pushed out the plane and everything like that. Okay. So I don't think everybody knows enough about that. And I would love to let that book, Meet the Airport Rampers, take off. So that's my newest endeavor. The other one is that I do have a big interview coming up with Logan Crawford, who is an interviewer, but I guess he was a comedian too, which is really cool. So I'll be able to joke around with him. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
And if any of your listeners are in Canada, if you go to the Maple Staple, you can see my book there.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. I was just in Canada in May. So yeah, I gotcha. All right.
Well, you're a little late. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't tell you before. Yeah.
Well, it was wonderful having you on the show and on the live show at that.
That's right.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, listeners.
You guys have tuned into us and you asked us questions. And thank you for writing Why Is Sam So Sad? Thank you so much and sharing your story with us and Sam's story. This is the end of our show. I want to thank you. I'm your host, Edna White, and my esteemed guest, Dan Granger, saying goodbye for now.
Can I put how I would sign a book?
Say it again?
Can I sign out how I would sign a book?
Sure.
Okay, before I do that, don't forget to check out Amazon.com. My book is on Amazon.com.
Okay.
It's also Barnes & Noble or wherever fine books are sold. So if I were to sign the book for you, I would say, Sam and I wish you much happiness as you create your gratitude list. All the best. Take care. Dan Granger.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Bye for now.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for listening. I have live people. That's so cool. Actually, I probably have.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke DeVard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
To the ones still searching for their sound. you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.